You have your Bibles, let's turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 33. And with great power, God gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. This is the word that we want to talk about today. Great grace was upon them all. Everyone say all. So grace was upon the disciples, but as they became witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace came upon all of them. You know, whenever you minister a message, the ministry of that message gets on the people. As a matter of fact, God's Word has presence. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells us that the Word has the power of life and death. And so God's Word has presence. And if the atmosphere was created by the Word of God, then God's Word is still creative, which creates our atmosphere. And so an atmosphere of confusion can be caused by words of confusion. An atmosphere of peace can be caused by words of peace. And so my kids had an issue this morning. They were being ugly to each other. And so I brought them in the house and I said, look, I said, I would rather you beat each other up than use ugly words toward each other, because words have the power of life and death. And so it's important that we recognize and remember that there is grace on our lips and there is pain on our lips. Does that make sense? And so we minister that toward each other. Well, the disciples here, they did just that, but thankfully in the positive, they ministered grace because the word of grace was on them. What was the word of grace? That this Jesus died for each and every one of us while we were yet sinners, Romans chapter 5, verse 20. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. And so if he died for the sinner, do you think he would still die for you and I that are saved and doing our best? Absolutely. He's proud of the fact that we accepted him. And so there's grace still. There's grace. God is pouring out his grace on us. And we said this last week, that grace is for moving forward, not for standing still. Grace is for moving forward and not for standing still. Romans 5, verse 15 says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ. And then verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. The word reign means absolute authority. It means absolute power. The word reign means to rule. God has called us to reign and rule in this world. As a matter of fact, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, 28 tells us that he gave us dominion on the earth to take authority, and it starts with our mind. That's where authority and dominion begins. Because if we don't have dominion in our thought life, we will not have dominion in our homes. We always say, well, I want great authority in my home. We'll take great authority in our thought lives. And don't let anything in our heads that goes against the Word of God. Now, that's for me also, because we all have to deal with, you know, like Joyce Meyer's book. I mean, it's real clear, the battlefield of the mind. That's exactly right. And so that is the primary battlefield. Now, the enemy will use people to talk to us. The enemy will try to discourage us through others. The enemy will send messengers of Satan, demons, evil spirits, themselves to whisper into our heads. And so it's important that, and you don't see those things. You don't hear them audibly. And so we don't necessarily realize those impulses that we're getting are from the enemy. And the priority of the enemy is to steal the grace that God has given us and to try to use grace only for, listen to this, only for our sin problems. Grace pushes away the thought of sin problems while we have the thought of seeking first the kingdom of God. And what do I mean by that? Very simply this, if we're always thinking about not doing wrong, we're not thinking about what God has for us. You see, us trying to not do wrong, it's all about us. Is that right? Because we want to do right. It's good to want to do right. But the Word of God talks about seeking first the kingdom of God. In other words, He has plans for us. I'm not saying that we don't grow in our walk with God to the point where we're not jerks and we're not using foul language and being ugly. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that. See, as we begin to walk with the Holy Spirit, He's going to begin to show us right and wrong. Now, I was communicating this to my guys this past week that, one of the reasons why God didn't want Adam and Eve eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is because God wanted man to follow God, not you to figure out what's right and wrong and me to figure out what's right and wrong, because every person will do what's right in their eyes. That's what the Bible says. They do that in the Old Testament, did it in the New Testament. They all did what's right. And you can justify anything. But if we do what Jesus said was the original purpose of God and man's relationship in Matthew chapter 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That word proceedeth means continues to come out of the mouth of God. In other words, God has direction for us right now. God has direction for your time here. God has direction for your time when we leave here, when we go to work tomorrow, or whatever we do, wherever we go. God has something for us. God has information. He's got a mandate. But if we are only thinking about ourselves, that's why, I love living in Quinlan. Now, the reason why is I can walk around in the rattiest clothes. And I'm not trying to be ugly. I can walk around in ratty clothes and I'll be just fine. Nobody has it, but it's normal. Somebody on Facebook said something the other day about, they went to go get something at Walmart, and they were in their pajamas, but then they didn't have it there, so they had to go home and get dressed to go to Target. And so, well, you know what? If Quinlan had a Target, you wouldn't have to get dressed. Just wear your pajamas. And I do think my flannels, I guess, they look like pajamas. So yeah, I've gone to Quinlan Walmart in my pajamas before. But what I'm saying is, it's okay. It's okay. So looking the part is not as important as walking in the part. Does that make sense? So we got to look good. I mean, I was trying to teach our guys the other one of my classes this week that just because I can raise my hands and look real pretty and get the microphone does not mean that I'm walking with God. I could be thinking about all kind of crazy stuff. My mind could be perverted. I could be thinking about how I can take the offerings and buy more guns. You know, Lord knows, I won't complain about Keezer right now, but anyway. There was a good deal. I mean, a good deal. It's a $400 gun for $218, and I'm trying to sow this seed, and I wanted to buy it for an older lady who's wanting to learn how to shoot. So it wasn't even for me. She's looked at me and say nothing. Anyway, back to this right here. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? We answered this question last week by doing this. We had to define what God says is sin. Now, again, I know everybody says, well, I know what sin is, and it's this, this, and this. Well, maybe not for everybody. I can tell you things in my life that God put for me that is sin. Now, when you're in ministry, your walk is a whole lot different than everybody else's walk, okay? Now, I know we have a higher standard, and I know that things are different, but there's also influence. Your influence makes a huge difference. And so with that, there are things that the Lord has put in my heart not to do, and if I do it, it's sin. There is no scripture for it. I don't even want to tell you what it is because I don't want you to feel convicted with my conviction. Because my conviction belongs to me. That's exactly right. And so that's why we grace young Christians and new believers that are starting out this walk, or maybe listen to this, or maybe people that didn't know that certain things in the Bible were wrong. We grace them because, number one, we love them, and number two, Jesus graced them so we can grow. The whole purpose of grace is to help us to grow. Because if we are struggling in a sin, guess what? You don't want to go pray. You don't want to go to church because you feel condemnation. Now, I know how that goes because I struggled with stuff as a teenager, and I did not want to be at the church, and I knew better. And thank God my mom was woman enough to say, son, if you're going to live in my house, you're going to church when I go to church. And so at the same time, it's important that me as a believer, I'm not putting my convictions on somebody else. You know, when one of my students asked me, because I told him, I said, the Lord put in our heart when we got married not to have a car payment, our hearts. And so I'm not going to put that on everybody else. And again, I try to preface that. That's what Lord put in our heart for us. And so I had one of my guys, well, my parents have car payments. Is that sin? I said, no, sir, it's not, because Lord didn't tell your parents that, did he? You see what I'm saying? And so it's very important that we realize that. All right, so let's talk about sin, the definition. This is the Greek definition. Why do we go back to doing what Paul told Timothy to study? The word study in the Greek means to research. Because it's not properly communicated when a Episcopal king, more Episcopalian, that was influenced by John Calvin to authorize a King James Bible, there's lots of stuff that's lost in interpretation. Now, I know that sounds ugly, that sounds judgmental. I'm just telling you, it's important for us to do what Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved. All right, so the word sin in the original Greek means, listen, this is the first spot. So how, when you look at your concordance, when you look at some of the Greek and Hebrew lexicons, word study Bibles, what's the first statement is normally the very first priority definition of what was being stated. And then after that, there are many, many other things. In other words, it's the primary usage of that word, unless it states the primary usage is this, okay? Kind of like the word energies or power that we read in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, where the Word of God is quick and powerful. That word, literally, the usage of that word was a medical term, and it had the understanding of the effects of medicine on the body. And so power, energies, energy. All right, so back to this right here. The very first, right out of the chute, it says, to be without a share in. To be without a share in. The purpose we were created was fellowship with God the Father Himself. That was the purpose that you and I were created. You know, my dad, when he told us a couple years ago that he was going to give us some money to buy some property, I was real happy because, you know, the areas that we originally were looking, you know, the small amount he was giving us, there was a possibility that we could get something. However, as our heart started going toward the school area where we minister almost every day, we knew we had to keep our, thank God Keyes had that vision board, because I'm not sure I could have kept on track with my faith, because I knew for a fact there's no way we can afford to live in poetry. There's just no way. You know, that's just the bottom line. And so anyhow, so when she made that vision board, my priority was to keep my mouth shut of what I was thinking and feeling and just stick to what she was believing. That's the beauty about marriage, man. If I ain't got it and she got it, I can agree with her. I can, and vice versa. If she ain't got it and I got it, she can just agree with me. And so anyway, so I agreed with what she had going, and I wasn't going to say anything negative or else she'd chew me out. And, you know, wife is the helpmeet, a co-equal. And I know cultures don't like that co-equal thing, but the wife is a co-equal, all right? And so anyhow, back to this right here. So when I talked to my dad, you know, my dad wanted to bless us. He wanted to be a blessing to us. And the more I began to fellowship with him, and man, the money was getting high, and I wasn't trying to work him over. I don't work my parents over for money. My parents worked hard when they first got to this country, and they saved, and they scrimped, and all that kind of stuff. Scrimped, is that a word? Is that a real word? Scrimped? Okay, just making sure. All right. See, they got an urban dictionary. They need a redneck dictionary. See, that's wrong to have urban, but not a redneck. And so, anyway, so my dad, the price kept going up. I say, Dad, well, you know, I think he went from $30,000 to, I think we found something for $74,000. And then the $74,000 thing kept falling through, and it fell through. And finally, we got the bid. And then all of a sudden, they call us back saying there's problems with the paperwork. It's done. No, you can't have it. And then we finally found something in a decent price range, I think like $135 or something, and we saw that, and we're like, we got the bid. And then we found out that the ordinances, I guess you can call it ordinances, and all the things you can and can't do in that area, that lot, goes against what we needed. So as far as ministry vision, we couldn't do our ministries out there. And so, man, it hurt us because it was 1 mile from the school. And so we had to throw that aside. Oh, that was painful. And my dad had agreed for the whole $135 thing. And I'm like, oh, man, praise God. And so all of a sudden, we got this whole other thing. And it was everything that was on Keyes' vision board plus some. Because I didn't have pipe fence on that. I wanted a pipe fence. But what I'm saying is that my dad, because of fellowship, he wanted to be a blessing. He wanted to grace us. and He graced us with finances to do what we are called to do. Amen? And so back to this right here. Sin means to be without a share. If I weren't related to my dad, guess what? I wouldn't have a share into that. And you being related to your Heavenly Father, there's a share there for you. As a matter of fact, when you look forward into the New Testament at the prodigal son, this father was the direct image of God the Father. And when his son screwed up, when he went and wasted it all on harlots and drinking and partying and all that stuff, when he actually did come to his senses, when his heart finally realized, oh my gosh. And listen, it's okay when they hit rock bottom. It's okay to hit rock bottom. Matter of fact, sometimes I just pray, Lord, I declare brokenness in so-and-so and protection. If you're going to believe God for brokenness in somebody, plead the blood of Jesus over them for protection as well. And so when he reached that place of brokenness and his eyes were open and he realized, man, it's a lot better off my dad's house instead of eating this nasty pig slop. And so he said he planned it all out. He was going to be real religious, real ungraciously religious, because religion has no grace. And so he said, I'm just going to go say to my dad, "Get dad, I'm not worthy to be called your son. I'm just going to, can I just be one of your hired servants? I'll live with them. I'll eat with them." And so sure enough, he went. And the Bible says that the father saw him from afar. In other words, his father was looking for him, I believe, daily. I believe every single, now listen, that region is not real wide. It's not real far. I don't believe that son went way so far away that dad wasn't hearing the things that son did. You see what I'm saying? Now, the reason why I have to say that is because God sees the goofy things, the perverse things, the just mean, ugly things that we did, done, or do. However, that same grace of that father is just like our, he knew, God knows, but he loves us and he still has something for us. And so the son comes back, the dad ran over to him, kissed him on the neck. Listen, that implies passion. When you grab someone and kiss them on the neck, it implies passion. That dad, knowing what was going on in that boy, because you know, people are real quick to tell you what your kids do. Is that right? They're real quick to let you know, especially if you're a PK. I don't know about that. All right. And so anyhow, so the dad is hugging and kissing him on the neck, and the boy, he gets his religious script out. "Father, I'm not worthy to be called your own son. I'll just eat with the servants and be one of your hired servants," and blah, blah, blah. The dad just absolutely ignores that. Ignores it, hollers at his servants and says, Hey, you bring my robe, you bring my signet ring, you bring my slippers, and kill the fatted calf. My son who was dead is now alive. He is back home, and let's celebrate." You know, a couple things regarding what he did was that robe, it signifies royalty. It signifies the father's royalty. See, even though we've messed up, God puts that on us for a purpose, to rule and reign. Those slippers were the father's slippers. Listen, that ring, you know, the signet ring was used as a signature. Signature. You know, they would drip the wax on an envelope to close it and press that ring in there, which means that boy had the right to sign for his daddy if he had the signet ring on. Are you seeing how the purpose of grace, of God pushing away what we did last night or we did this morning on the way to church, is to move you forward in the things of God? But then the religious goody-two-shoe son had a problem with that because I didn't screw up. I didn't do anything ugly that my brother did. And no, you've never killed a fatted calf for me. You've never done anything like that for me. Blah, blah, blah. Listen, it always never seems to happen when God is promoting someone, there's always someone jealous in the background. I've learned something. If I will stay in my grace, God will promote me. And in addition, when you have the naysayers, don't focus on them. They're just mad because you're walking in the grace of God and they're not. Easy, easy peasy. Easy peasy stuff. You know, we learn this, and we're still learning this, because, again, grace is for moving on with God. Grace is for getting things done for Jesus. So, to be without a share in, to miss the mark, to be in error, to be mistaken. Now, again, I know that religion uses the word sin a lot more, but God is saying that sin, and it is bad, it's wrong. Wrong is wrong. You know, in the Bible, wrong is wrong. There actually is some sins that's more than others. So everybody has that opinion that it's not, but it's, look what the Bible says, all right? But all that being said, what God is calling sin was not walking in His perfect will. Be led by the Spirit, not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. Walk in what God has for us, and you won't have to worry about some of this stuff. And the sins that happen, the mistakes that happen along the way, I'll cover you if you just keep moving forward. We said this, James 4:17 last week, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. This is that same verse, James 4:17 in the Message. It says, in fact, if you know the right thing to do and don't do it, that for you is evil. Oh, that is tough. That's a tough one right there. If I know the right thing to do and I push it away, it is considered. Now, we've all done it. I've done it. Probably did it this week. But at the same time, if I just try to stay on the track, on the plan that God has for me, then God will begin to open doors for me. He'll cover us. He'll cover it. He'll get us going in the right direction, and He'll cover us from the junk that we did last week so we can keep moving. Because God's not in last week. God is in your today, and He is in your future. But if we are dwelling on the past, and this goes back to our good accolades also, because remember, the tree that God didn't want us eating from wasn't a tree of evil, of the knowledge of evil. It was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So if I go back in my past and start going over my resume, well, you know, I've done this in ministry, I've done this, and I got a you know, diploma from Texas Bible Institute, leadership training course, Birchfield School of Ministry, I got a bachelor's and a master's, all that stuff. You know, people can be impressed with that. But if I'm not anointed right now, if I'm not in my call right now, all that is just garbage. That's what Paul said. I count that stuff as poop. Dung is what he said, but we call it poop. It's just one of those, you know, a little bit better, a better understanding, a better visual, you know what I'm saying? Paul said that's junk. That's junk compared to where you are right now pursuing the things of God. Do you see that this morning? And now this is what I want to show you. Let's look at, if I can get to my verse right here, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Let me read that in the Amplified. It says, for all these things are taking place for your sake, so that the more grace, divine favor, and spiritual blessing extends to more and more people and multiplies through the many, the more thanksgiving may increase and redound to the glory of God. In other words, the grace on our life is supposed to bring increase to other people. The graces on our life are called on you, are placed on us to bring increase to other people. If we're not taking who we are by the grace of God, what we are by the grace of God, and what we're called to do by the grace of God, then there's people somewhere that's lacking. There's something that's missing, because the grace on us is called to affect somebody else. Let me read this in the Message version, 2 Corinthians 4:15 in the Message version. Every detail works to your advantage and to the glory of God. Now, I like this because it's to our advantage and the glory of God. You see, the grace on your life, it's to bless you. It's to bless my socks off. I just got invited again this past week to preach at the spring men's retreat down at the camping in Columbus, Texas. Man, I thought, well, praise God. I must have did okay. But man, I tell you, it's the grace that opens those doors. God calls you to do something. And you know, this week, what we did in Belize was so successful and effective. I was so excited. Thank y'all for blessing us with the opportunity to go down there. I was in our school principal's office on Thursday. I was in the office Thursday afternoon, and we were talking. We had a conversation, and our principal, Dr. Horan, she says, "Oh, and Mr. Munu, I need to talk about this Belize thing." And so I'm like, "Okay, where's she going with this?" She goes, "You know, our school does all these different missions focuses and different things throughout the year, and none of them are we in relationship with." And she said, I recognize that you have relationship with those people over there. I think this coming school year, we're going to just tag in to what you're doing. And so instead of having the gift boxes all around the school for people to buy toys to send to somebody they don't know, she said, we're just going to do that for what you do in Belize. I didn't ask. It's the grace. The grace of God on your life will move things around you, and it'll cause increase in your life. Now I was ecstatic. I was trying to hold back. Sure, well, praise the Lord. Yep, that's wonderful. That will be wonderful. We don't ask for things like that. And listen, but this is a big deal, because whenever we went to that new region to preach, my heart went out to those people there. And I'm thinking, man, that man needs to do a gift thing like what they're doing on the island. See, Pastor Victor does one down there in his area, and boy, he ministers to those children. Now, he don't give out just to you know, oh yeah, we're just a cool church. We just do that because we don't work, because we're the church. No, he does that to open the door for the gospel. And he's effective at it. And now on the island, that's happening. And now, wow. And so I wasn't going to ask y'all to give for two regions. I wasn't going to do it. But now I don't have to do it, because the grace that's on us has already opened the door. And the grace will go before you, and the grace will go in front of you. And one last place that I want to go to. So that's grace. That's what grace. But if I didn't step out in that grace, guess what? Then one region would have been blessed, and it'd be just fine. You see, the region we did bless, we had people from the school, didn't we, that just started bringing stuff. Man, one lady and her two daughters went shopping. Man, they had a blast going shopping and bought stuff. People went in their closets and found stuff they hadn't opened, and just a big blessing. And so, we're able to do it. But if we never stepped out to venture out and to do something bigger than us, see, the grace is not to just maintain. Our grace is to bring increase to somebody else. And that's what the grace is doing in many, many places as well. One last scripture if I have it written down here. Well, in Kings, I think it's 1 Kings, Elijah? Elijah was running from Jezebel, and the Lord told him to go by the brook or the creek Cherith. And he said this, God said this, "For I have commanded the ravens to provide meat for you there." In other words, there is a grace there. And if he did not go to the brook Cherith, the grace would not be on his life. You see, as we grow in our walk with God, God's leading us. And as we follow the Holy Spirit, he's going to take us to that place of grace. Everyone say, grace has a place. And I could stay where I am and just try not to sin. You know what I mean? And let the grace of God cover the sins while I'm just sitting down and doing nothing for the kingdom of God. However, this man knew that he had business. He couldn't be running from old Jezebel. You know, that's not his job in life, was not running from Jezebel. His job was a prophet. So he needed to go prophesy. He needed to go work the miracles of God. So God says, go here, go to Cherith, and the ravens will provide for you there. They will provide. That's just stupid. I don't know why God couldn't have some people provide for him or whatever, but okay, ravens, whatever, Lord, I'll take it, you know. And that ravens are meat eaters, you know what I mean? And so they were eating meat also. And so for them to bring him meat, that's a freaky thing right there. I mean, like, you know, they're serving him above themselves. That's interesting. Boy, try to tell that to some Christians. Whew, that's crazy. All right. So back to this right here. So all of a sudden, the grace there shifted. There's a shifting in grace. You know that in ministry, in your kingdom walk, everyone has a ministry. That word ministry means service. Service. Okay, so don't let's, you know, the old, you know, grown-up thing was ministry was about a pulpit. No, no, no. Nowhere in the Bible is ministry is about a pulpit. The word serving, the word minister is the word service, servant. And so it's all about serving in the kingdom to benefit the greater good or the body. Amen. Matter of fact, I won't get to it today, but the Bible talks about every joint supplies. God has a grace gift for every joint to supply. And if every joint is not walking in their grace gift, guess what? Somebody is not getting supplied. And if the ravens weren't walking in their grace gift, guess what? He would not have been supplied with stuff. So it ran out. The stuff, the brook went dry. And so he God says, listen, I have commanded, go to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow woman to provide for you there. Everyone say there. All right. So again, the grace of God was now here. So if he followed the grace of God on his life, he would go to the right place. But watch this. This is how grace, your grace connects with somebody else's need. Your grace connects with somebody else's pain or hurt, or your grace will supply somebody else. What does it say in, we just read 2 Corinthians 4:15, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. In other words, the grace that's on you will cause someone to come to Jesus. The grace that's on you will cause someone to increase their walk with God, increase their health, increase their finances. Whatever increase that life needs, the grace on us will deliver that, and they will rejoice and give glory to God. Does that make sense? So back to this right here. So this woman here, he said that he commanded a widow woman. He's commanded a widow woman. So in other words, this widow woman had to have some kind of an unction from the Holy Ghost, some kind of leading from the Holy Ghost that this was going to happen. And all she needed to have was a word from the Lord. So he goes in there, thank God. Because listen, he would have starved if he stayed by the brook Cherith. If we don't move into that place of our grace, we whine, complain, and say, I don't know why God's not feeding me. Well, it's real simple. You ain't going where he told you the food's at. You know, yesterday, man, I knew where the food was at, so you better believe I was right here. Man, I enjoyed it too. I gorged yesterday. I wasn't playing around. And so he goes over there, and we all know the story. He sees a widow woman. He asks for some water, says, listen, when you bring me the water, bring me something to eat also. She had only enough stuff for her and her son to have a little bite of bread and eat it and die, and that was it. But he said, you make for me first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Honor God, Proverbs 3, or Psalms 3, honor God with the first fruit or the first portion of your increase so that your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will burst out with new. That's why. That's why we have that doctrine, because we got two places that tell us honor God and the things of God first, and he will take care of everything else. So sure enough, in his grace, he operates that way, went over to her. She did what he asked to do, brought it back, and we all know that her and her son ate for many days. Had he not followed the grace of God, her and her son would have starved and her son would have died. Listen, very simply, our grace is connected to something. Our grace is connected to someone. Our grace has a place somewhere. And if we are not pursuing the purpose that we were created and the anointings and giftings for which we were called to function in, somebody is missing out. But here's the deal. The Bible tells us in Psalms that you've never seen God's seed begging bread. You ever heard that scripture before? God's not going to let someone else suffer because of my lack of functioning in my grace. But here's what would be hurtful to me. If I step out to finally go someplace and God says, you know what, you're too late, Michael, you wouldn't go, so I've got somebody else going there already. You know, I heard Keith Moore talk about something that the Lord had spoke to him, And then finally, he asked the Lord, he said, well, Lord, he said, I'm honored that you have me do this. And I forgot how exactly the conversation went, but he asked the Lord, you know, not necessarily if he's the first one, but how many others were called to go out and do it. He said, well, you're the seventh one that I've asked. Seventh one that he's asked. You see, God's calling many. God's calling many to do many. But you know, it takes faith to step out. Well, first of all, the word go means to get past ourselves. That's what the word go means in the original Greek. Get past how I feel, what I think, and what I want to do. I don't want to do it. I want to stay right here because I like my warm house. My house ain't warm. Just FYI. Listen, my house is warm in the summer because, you know, anyway. But what I'm saying is I don't want somebody to take my place. There's a grace, and remember, the grace of God on me will cause me to be blessed, and it'll cause everyone around me, everyone I'm called to do, to be blessed also. And so today, I believe we're getting closer and closer. We're fine-tuning. We're fine-tuning because God is a precision God. And so we're called to things, but then we're starting to get the fine-tuning details of the what and the how and the what if and the how to and all that kind of stuff. You know, for the last 4 years, people have asked, well, Mr. Munu or Pastor Michael, are you taking any groups down to Belize? Well, no, I Lord didn't put that in my heart, taking a group, until recently. After somebody else took a group last year, in my heart, I'm like, well, you know, we need more groups. And so, sure, I'm good to go. But I tell them, be ready to work. You know, matter of fact, start taking the exercise now, y'all. But what I'm saying is, graces are seasonal, too. There are seasons for what God has called you to do. Let me say this about ministry. Okay, I started to say this and I forgot. Our calling is to God. Our calling is to God. Our ministry is toward people. Now, our ministering toward people is for Jesus' sake, for God. We're doing it for Him. We're doing it to people and for Him. Okay? The stronger you stay in your call or your walk or your service to the Lord, the reflection of that will be your ministry toward people. You see, spiritual maturity shows itself on how much we love or serve people. You know why? Because God sent His Son into the earth to serve people. He didn't come here to be served, but to serve. Yeah, that's what it is, serve. And so what am I saying? Spiritual maturity is serving. Spiritual growth is serving. Spiritual growth is serving more. It's getting into our grace at that place and letting the increase of God that comes with that grace increase us and then increase those people that God has called us to. Amen. Let's stand.